John chapter 1, Lord put this on my heart. I was last Sunday morning, as I think all you know, I was out of town, and I was praying for my son this morning. He was helping fill in while I was here, and he was kind of minute man, and you know, he's growing in the Lord. I just appreciate his efforts, and he had asked me for prayer. And when I was praying for him, I was praying this passage over him in John chapter 1, and it just kind of, you know, if you've ever preached before or taught the Bible, sometimes you get to a place where you just don't know where to start. You know, or maybe you have a loved one, a close friend that you know needs some help, and you think, where in the world do I begin? I mean, because some people's problems, we live in a pretty complex society today. Sin really has complicated life. I mean, it just there are no easy situations anymore. But the great thing is God can handle every situation. And my heart's desire is that I want to be used to where all, no matter how complex a situation is for any individual, when they come to me or if I even hear about it, I'll be able to say, like the little maid said when Naaman had leprosy, would to God that person in the presence of Jesus Christ, because he could take care of that. Amen. Because I fear, and let's just be honest, I know that certain times in my life, there have been some situations I thought, man, Lord, how? What can be done? You know, sometimes we get used to just seeing people in bad situations, especially, I think when you live in a big city especially, you see so much tragedy around you and you people with complex issues, you just kind of get used to think, well, that person's just going to be that way. You know, instead of saying, you know what, my Father can help them. But what I'm saying is, where do you begin? Where do you start? You know, and this is a simple passage, and I was thinking about this because I'm calling this the greatest beginning of all. You know, John chapter 1, it's certain passages in the Bible that when you just hear them, when I can quote John chapter 1 and about the first four or five verses, I don't care what time of day, I'm ready to shout by the time I get done. Just the gravity and the majesty of who it points to, who it talks about. But I was thinking as I was praying over my son for these verses here, trying to help me just to encourage him, and I pray for, and it actually brought to mind other individuals, different situations, but I'll just read it and I'll see if God will let me go through this, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's quite simple, but I pray that by the power of the Holy Ghost it'll be powerful. John chapter 1 and verse number 1, the greatest beginning of all. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not made anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Father, help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First thing I want you to notice, if you're taking notes either mentally or physically, number one, the foundation for the beginning. And, you know, God, it's amazing how powerful God is. At the same time, God's humble. I mean, because although at one point God has all the glory, but at the same time, he indirectly speaks of himself, letting you know who he is, but at the same time, letting you to realize that he's everything at the same time. But in the beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, the very foundation for everything. In the beginning, it was simply the Word. You know, and God took great length to tell us that. You know, as you've heard me say numerous times, you know, one of the most fantastic verses in the Bible is that, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. You know, there's times I went to my house and just flipped the switch and the light didn't come on. Maybe the bulb is burnt out, you know, for whatever reason, and you think you got power, and you have normal expectations, you think, well, the light's going to come on, you flip the switch, and guess what? There's no light. But there was, light didn't exist, light had never been formed, light had never been thought of, because there was no man to formulate the thoughts, and God said, you know what, let there be light. And the most supernatural light and power known to mankind just showed up. because in the beginning was the Word. You know, in Psalm 119, look at a few different verses here, just kind of emphasize the Word and His majesty and His power. And in Psalm 119, verse 160, Psalm 119, verse 160, the Bible says, "Thy word is true from the beginning." So from the beginning, God's word has always been true. You know, my word hasn't always been true at every time in my life. I don't think anybody's word has always been true at any time, every time of their life. All of us, at one point or another, have bold-faced lied. We call it stretching it through sometimes. We may call it exaggeration. Exaggerating the facts, but it's still a lie. And but God, never God. If God says something, God has never exaggerated anything about Himself. Everything that His Word said about His power, about His grace, about His love, it's true, and it's been true from the beginning. God did not grow into becoming a more truthful person, a more truthful deity. He's always been true. His Word has always been true. When you come to Christ, you may grow in those areas. You grow to where you can be more dependable, and your Word mean more and more. And some for pride's sake, have always prided themselves. Even without Christ, you can be a very truthful person, not be born again for pride's sake. There's a lot of things we can do that resemble things that are right for pride's sake. But He says, "Thy Word is true from the beginning." And catch this now, every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Anybody here ever been wrong about something? At least once? Now let me go for it. Anybody ever been sure about something and you were still wrong? Not God. Not God. My hands, my feet, my toes are all up, by the way. Just so you know, I didn't raise my hand. I'm just trying to, I'm there with you. But not God. Every one of His righteous judgments endureth forever. There's never been anything that God has said that, I was kind of wrong about that. No, everything that God, His judgments, the things that He said is true, they're true from the very beginning. I like what the psalmist says here in verse 22, because he catches the gravity of the word. He says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." I know some of you heard before, but it's so good to me. I'm going to tell it again, that the day in my home I found the word of God. For years, I had a Bible in my home, and I read from it. And even after I was saved, I was so glad to have a Bible in my home. But one day my wife was at a ladies' meeting, and I was sitting there, and I had this little shoe shine stand that are... Did you find that at a thrift store or something, or did your parents give it to me? As a friend? Okay, just... Anyway. And some, I used to let my Bible sit on that thing. You know, I didn't shine shoes on it. I mean, I do shine shoes because I was military, But one day I was just sitting there alone, and I looked over at that thing, at the Bible over there, and the Holy Spirit, in a way that I'd never heard before, says, "That's the Word of God." And it was such a real experience. I was sitting down, and you know how you sit back, you recline, and my back's hurting, I would illustrate it. And I kind of got to the edge of my seat, and I was like, "Really?" and I was looking at it, and then I said it out loud, "That's the Word of God." Then I got up out of my seat and almost kind of circled it. I got closer to it, almost like I was like, "Whew, I don't know if I, what am I supposed to do? It's the Word of God, you know." And that moment, I mean, I know what this verse is saying. He says, "I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil." It's something I had on my life. I'd memorized verses before, and I remember even in Sunday school. But that day when I recognized that this was, I mean, I guess the transformation was, this was not just a book of good religious ideas.
This is not just suggestions for those that follow Christ if they want their life to work out properly. Right there and right here, and if you have one in your lap or on your phone or wherever you got it, it's the Word of God. And may God allow us to be with the psalmist here and really say, I rejoice in that Word as one that finds great spoil. Guess what? I found the Word of the night. I was still broke. But I found the Word of God that I still had bills to pay. I still had a junky car to drive. And guess what? But I found great spoil that night. Amen. And because the Word, you know, and that was a fantastic beginning in my life. In the beginning was the Word. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. That's what the Bible says here. And this is an amazing verse. Anybody know there's power in the name of Jesus? I mean, there really is. I mean, it just. But notice what the Bible says here. And I read this verse years ago, and I still don't think I catch the magnitude of what it really means. But it's like, wow. And let's read verse 1 just because it's good. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. This is the psalmist talking to the Lord, you know. You ever praise God with your whole heart? I mean, that's a great time when you do that. Get somewhere and just kind of let it all rip, man. Just bless the Lord somewhere. You know, I'm not saying you got to scream or holler or shout, but you probably will raise the volume just a little bit. And he says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. He said, I'm going to praise your name for your loving kindness and truth. Why? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know, but if you could just pray. And we're going to pray. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to pray. I'm just going to pray that, and I'm going to ask you if you can say this in your heart. And you don't, I'm not asking you to answer audibly. Say, Lord, can I see your word like you want me to see it? I mean, I don't want you to take what you think I'm trying to express to you, but I'm going to pray, and if you can pray it in your heart while I pray it, and I mean, but I'm telling you what it is so you can examine your heart before you pray it. Lord, can I please see your word like you want me to see it? Because, man, he said, I've magnified it above thy name. Notice I didn't say, it's not the preaching above thy name, but it's the word. Our Heavenly Father, you know what you'd like to accomplish through this. And Lord, I ask you for myself. You sense my elation, my joy. But I ask along with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and I ask you, Lord, would you please help me to see your word the way you want me to see it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, we see some other fantastic things about the Word, of how people have faith in the Word and what it can do. And I love this too. But in Matthew 8, verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. I like the sound of that. I like to know that people are following Jesus. You know, I remember I was at a meeting several years ago. We hadn't been here very long. And at some point I think nobody was here that's here now. But at one point we had about 30 to 40 people. And I was at a meeting and they asked me what the attendance was and made a special day. And almost everybody at me was lost. You know, and I tell you, it was great to preach the gospel. But man, it was hard preaching because it was a lot of traditional people that come just because we were new. People just came to check us out some new and weren't really interested in Bible preaching, you know, and especially somebody that takes longer than your normal 30 minutes, you know. it was hard. It was a hard situation, you know. I remember thinking about how, but there were just, there's no gravity for the word, you know, and all the excitement and the things that I had, you know. And so, but anyway, I can't remember where I was going with that, so I'll read the Bible. But when he's coming down from the mountain, multitudes, there was nobody, they weren't there to follow Jesus. You know, I'd rather have what we have now that's here to follow Jesus than it will have this whole thing knocked out in the field just to
so we all look good and we have to be together, you know. And so I personally would like both, though. I would like to have this field because all of us have somebody we know that we love that we wish were following Jesus. Am I right about it? Is that true? Yeah. And so let's pray to that end, and may God use us to that end, you know. So notice I didn't say following the church, following the preacher. I said following Jesus. There's a great distinction there, and I want to keep that distinction clear. And great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this is good too. This isn't even what I'm looking at, but this is good on the way. He said, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and saying, I will be thou clean. Can you imagine what that leper felt like at that moment? Here he finally made it to Jesus, the Messiah, Son of God, walking in the flesh. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It wasn't, and he was content to whatever God was willing to do. And he said, I will. Woo! Be thou clean. And immediately, not after several treatments, but immediately his leprosy was cleansed. See, this is the faith that I rejoice in, but this is the faith that convicts me. Because I'm looking for that today. And I think it's supposed to exist today. I think there's still so much that our Savior wants to do immediately in lives of people. And I don't understand how it all works out. What he's really, as far as faith, I know we have to believe. And I wonder what's missing in our belief. And do we believe that it just could happen here, but couldn't happen for us? I sure don't want to stand before God and see multitudes of people that could have been healed, helped, changed, delivered. And there were just people that walked by and said, well, I'm in a big city. That's just the way they are. And the words come ringing where you had not because you asked not. But anyway, going further. Verse 4. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. That's amazing. He said, well, you know why? Because he said, I don't want people coming to me just for the miraculous. I want them to come to me because I'm the Savior. You know, because they need their soul to be saved. They need to be born again. You know, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, begging, pleading, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And here's Jesus again. He's I'm here. He said, Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the what? The word only. Why? Because in the beginning was the word. And there's probably some recollection of what happened that centurion was stepping on that which was there in the beginning, that was because of the power and authority of the word. Those atoms that are assembled to make that chair that you're sitting on right now, that exists because in the beginning was the word. And that word spoke, made those things come into being. That's fantastic. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And Luke 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood at the lake of Gennesaret to hear the word. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Master, he's saying, Master, we've labored all night, we used all our experience, we've used all our expertise.
Everything we know how to do, we've given our very best effort at all, and there's absolutely nothing at all to show for it. We've labored all night, we're tired, we're worn out. He said, nothing to show for it. And he says, but nevertheless, I know it looks like what I tried didn't work, but at thy word, I will let down the net. Because, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and when absolutely nothing existed, the Word made something come into existence. So Simon could look there, you know what? To do the same thing again. You know, you've heard the definition of insanity mostly by now, doing the same thing again, expecting different results. But it wasn't exactly the same thing. Because they were now going to let down the net based on the authority of the Word, not based on their normal routine of doing things. You know, I wonder how many of you read their Bibles because they're supposed to, and it just hasn't meant anything to them. And it's Lord, just at thy word, I'm going to read the Bible. Maybe here today, and thank God you're here today. You know, I'm a pretty real person, if you have heard it by now. There's times I've been in churches because I'm supposed to come to church. like today, by the grace of God, that at thy word, I'm here. And really, last year, God just transformed my heart in so many different ways, I could tell you, but I'll probably tell you later. I've been telling you for you throughout the time, but I'm not going to put into today's message what I'm saying. But you know what? I'm here today at thy word. My prayer life. There's many things I prayed for and just prayed. And Lord, I told all night. Seemed like nothing happened. But Lord, at your word, I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to do the same thing that I was doing. But now I'm going to do it at thy word. And you know what happened? You know what amazing happened? The same thing they've been doing all night. And it didn't seem like it had any... It didn't yield them their results. At thy word, they didn't know what happened. Well, it's right here. Let's see what happened. Amen. Anybody want to see? Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. So here, all their experience didn't do a thing in the world for them. But at the word of Jesus, they let it down. All of a sudden, they had more than they know what to do with. And this is not a prosperity message, but I'm saying it does work to do things at the word of God, you know. And so, back in John chapter 1, so the foundation, the Bible tells it very simply, in the beginning was the Word. We see from different passages that the Word is significant in power and majesty, and people are willing to trust the Word of God without any physical manifestation of Jesus Christ. The centurion said, you know what, Lord, if you just speak the Word, you don't even have to be at my house. If you speak the Word, I know my servant will be healed. But we really have to, you know, I think we, number two, I'll go for it. I'll go with the Word, then we'll go next. The fellowship in the beginning. Now, this is the amazing part of this statement here to me. It's all amazing to me. because I'm simple-minded. But the fellowship in the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word, but it makes special note to tell us that the Word was with God. So the Word was not just there in although the Word was there in all of its power, true, from everlasting to everlasting, the Word was not just there in the beginning. The Word was with God. I mean, it makes special note, you know, and you know, this word is a great word, but it needs to be with God. You know, that's why people continually try to change Bibles to make it more understandable, but the answer is the person being with God. You know, because it doesn't matter how simple it becomes, and you still, and I won't still understand it if I'm. It won't have the power. It won't have the transforming ability in my life that it needs to have if it's not mixed or combined with God. And an amazing statement here. Turn to Genesis chapter number 5. I love this. Like I said, this is simple. It's not profound today, but I hope it. If nothing else, I hope it changes. You know, God really wants some. You know, a statement I've said through the years. God is never weary of a fresh start. Now, in Genesis chapter 5, this is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. And Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, it said, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years." Now, I wrote a note in my Bible, April 15th, 2016. Lord, please make this my after. This day I want to be my after. Like I see, Enoch, for some reason, after he begat Methuselah, that's when the 300-year walk with God began. And so, we should all be looking for an after day. After this time, I begin to walk with God. But he said, and begat, even that, oh, he walked 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, this is as amazing as this testimony is. Can we just be honest? It's really quite boring, isn't it? It's quite vague. In fact, you say, "But it sounds good, Pat, but it's a life that nobody really wants, if you think about it. How many people really would just, if all you want to be said by me, that was, you walk with God and your sons and daughters. If that was the embodiment of your existence, everything you did, all you did was walk with God and you had a few children. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's a testimony that glorifies God. But I mean, that's amazing, and we recognize, if you've ever attempted to walk with God, you recognize, wow, this is amazing. Now, if you've never really tried to walk with God, it doesn't really mean anything to you because you think, well, what's the big deal? I mean, I didn't. Well, 300 years. Try for 30 days. Try this next 30 days. I'm going to do everything I do. I'm going to walk with God every single day next 30 days. I tell you, if you really attempt that, you'll be on your face more than you've been in a long time. I'm telling you, but it'd be a good place to be. I can't remember what year it was. I don't know, several years ago, since I've been in Canada, I said, Lord, I want 300 days. I'm going to go 300 days. I want to walk I'm not going to live 300 years, I don't think. Not on this side. But Lord, my goal is to walk with you 300 days. And I started a journal, you know. And you know what? Guess what? There were gaps in that journal. For 300 days, I found there was focus, there was things, there were responsibilities, things that took my attention. And man, I found I was not weaker than I thought I was. And I'm not talking about not reading the Bible, but I mean to have a day where you know that every day you were in His presence, every day you know He directed you, and you just, and just to know that you were with Him. I know He's with me, but He wants to know I'm with Him. But in the beginning, the Word was not just there as this stationary thing, but I said the Word was with God. You know, every place that God is at, supernatural things happen. You know, recently in about Luke, where the Bible says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." I sent a note out to a few people, you know, to embrace the supernatural in your life. You must make a decision to submit yourselves to be in the presence of one that that impossible does not exist. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. We live in a self-confident world where, what I think, isn't there a saying in one of the shirts or something, impossible is nothing? I know there's a commercial where that sometimes impossible is nothing. Because and God made us, mind you, we forget that part. But man in and of himself thinks impossible is nothing. He sets out to do all these things. And man can accomplish a great deal of carnal things in and of his own. But when it comes to the spiritual things, the things that actually make the difference in the lives of people, man, that's impossible without God. But see, with God, nothing shall be impossible. So God makes note of it. He said, my word was here from the beginning, but my word was with God. Exodus chapter number 33, another favorite passage of mine. Exodus chapter number 33 and verse number 13. Now, Exodus 33:13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, God speaking here, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein, now catch this, the phraseology might mess you up a little bit, but I want you to, let's hear this. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? He said, now Lord, he said, if you're not going with us, don't take us any further, because is it not that which makes it known that we have your grace? He said, Lord, is it the thing that makes us known that we have your grace, that we have a good and perfect doctrinal statement? Oh, sorry, that's not in there. Or a good solid Baptist position, or whatever your favorite denomination is for this particular service. He said, no. He said, Lord, what makes it known that your grace is upon us is that you go with us, that your presence goes with us. You know, that's what the Bible says. You know, thank God, and I'm not against saving the faith. I'm not against believing solid truth, because, again, I've got the Word. But the reality is, I've got to be with God. The Bible says, you know, by this shall all men know that you my disciples indeed, if you have loved one toward another. You know, if we agreed on a doctrinal statement, you know what, we might feel confident that we're disciples. If we say we agree on certain principles of the faith, we might feel confident. But you know what? You know how people know that you're a disciple? According to what God said, just the one that made everything. He said the love. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. Now, catch this now. You can be known, if you choose, you can be known to be a good, solid, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James-only, devil-hating Baptist, which I'm not against that. But it might be better, just a thought, kind of fleeting thought, it might be better that all men know that you personally are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. What would be better, to be known as be a faithful man? That is the most faithful member in First International Baptist Church ever had. Or would it be known? You know, I'm not sure where that person went to church, but from what I know about the person of Jesus Christ, I know that brother, that sister, that was his disciple. That was a follower of Christ. Now, I believe you can have both. But I'm telling you, if you have the latter, knowing you're a disciple of Christ, that'll overshadow anything else anyway. Because everything about, you pick any denomination, there's nothing perfect about, everything's not perfect about any of them. But what's perfect about, except for the head of all of it, which is Jesus Christ, that's the perfect. So what I'm saying is that it's important to note that the Word was with God. You know why that's important? Because everybody, is anybody here desire right now? Anybody here have a desire? You came here because you're just a rebel against God and you don't want to follow His Word. Is anybody here like that right now? So we just don't know how to pray for you. You're here today because I came today because I'm just a rebel against God. I don't want to follow God's Word. Right? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay. So since that's not the case,
That means that everybody here has some degree. You came here today with some type of mindset to where you believe you have some degree of security, possibly, that you are, they have a standing on God that somewhat based on His Word. I would say that. Would you agree with that? You may not feel like you're the greatest servant today. You may not feel like you're following all. You may not, but you have some degree to which you're following. You have the Word. And I'm just saying, well, that's pretty good. But all of us, me included, it needs that Word that each of us have that has brought us here today, that governs our life during the week, it needs to be with God. Because that's how the greatest beginning of all took place. Because God didn't just have the Word. He said the Word was with God. And Moses said, you know what, your grace, I mean, the way that everybody knows that your grace is upon me is not by all the things that we know. It was known that the nation of Israel was God's people. It was known that the Jews were God's people. But Moses said, that's not really enough. What is it not that makes us known that your grace is upon? Is it not your presence? The promises that are made to the nation of Israel, that are made to God's children, they authenticate the presence of God. The reason the prophecies were fulfilled so that we could look down through time and see the presence of God, His hand on them, knowing that it's important not just to have the Word, but the Word was with God. And in the beginning of everything, there was not just the Word, but the Word was with God. Back in our text in John chapter 1, in the greatest beginning of all. Now we saw the foundation in the beginning, the fellowship in the beginning. Now here's the Father. Here's the Father in the beginning. So not only was in the beginning was the Word, and not only was the Word with God, but now here's the scratch head. Here's the power of it all. The Word was God. So that day, God was there. Woo! And so in the beginning, I can't even talk. Was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God the Father Himself. You know, when you think about the next time you're trying to determine whether or not to open, Megan, a waitress at this restaurant I call Steve's, I go to occasionally study my Bible. I love the way she explained it. I was in there one day. I was reading my Bible. She came to work, and she came from the back, and she said, "Excuse me." She said, "Is that the book of God?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Yes, it is." And I said it like that too. I'm like, "What?" And I mean, if you catch that, I mean, think about it. You know, it's not, have you read your Bible today? You did your Bible reading? Brother, you did your Bible reading? Sister, you did your Bible reading? The Word. This is with God. It's not just with God. The Word was God. The embodiment of what you open and read, this is God. The Father, God, the Father, the one that so loved you, me, the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the case we missed it, the same was there in the beginning. And the same was in the beginning with God. It's all enveloped. You know what took place? Because the Word was there. And because the Word was with God. And because the Word was God. The most magnificent creations we've ever seen that we still can't completely figure out. And we still are discovering new species and things all the time. Because of the power of the Word. And when you think about, there's so many ways I could break this down, but you think about the reality that, okay, the Word is God. Word was God as is quoted here, but God is love. So when you're trying to make a decision, when you're looking at the Word and you're trying to determine whether or not what you're going to trust what's being said here, this is the God Himself that gave His only begotten Son for you. The God Himself that gave you life so you could know Him. Now, I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about, you know, I don't know exactly how some people are to get to heaven, but God made me in such a way to where, and I know I get a new glorified body, but to where when I actually see Him, that because of even who I am, I'll appreciate Him like I never have before. I mean, sometimes there's a party that wish, man, I just was perfect, wish I never made a mistake. But God made me in such a way that when I see Him, it's like this, the way He made me perfectly to where I can really be enveloped in joy and appreciate Him. I mean, I can't hardly take it now sometimes. I know he's got to give me a new body. But just to think about all that He did, that my Father, our Father has given us a Word. For a beginning, and He set the groundwork for His own beginning that is just beyond our own comprehension. You know, and you think about this, okay, the Word was God. Now, it used to be, years ago, there used to be a saying called, a man's word is his bond. And what that meant was that when a man gave his word about something, that word identified who he is. You knew something about that man. I was thinking my wife's grandfather was that kind of person. I think I have his leather jacket that I'm trying to lose weight to fit into. I tried it on this morning. I can almost get a zip now. But I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how he was known for his word. And he was in a time where you didn't have contracts for everything. You said something, you just did it, you know. And people knew that your word was good, that you were identified by your word. And when you think about God the Father and this word that we have, man, may the Lord deliver us from just looking at this as some disreligious book of ideas that have great suggestions of how we can make it through this life. But no, this is God. This is God. This is the Word of God. It is God Himself. And when we open it and read it, this is why people all over the globe are dying for their faith. Not because they're just stubborn and bullheaded, but because dying filled with the fruits of the Spirit, you know. Not out somewhere sacrificing somebody to take somebody else's life, you know. That was when I was talking to that immigration agent. One thing I told him, he asked to have any weapons, and I said, no, I just have spiritual weapons, you know. And he said, he said yours are actually a lot more difficult to disarm. And I said, yeah, true. And mine are only to give life, not to take life. And if we really catch them, and this is a living book, because in fact it tells us right here, and when we see it more of our Father, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll catch this. I'm almost done here. So my brain didn't explode. Isaiah chapter 40. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. So many things you can say about God and read verses and passages about Him. But Isaiah 40, verse 21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That's God. It's He. From the beginning, it's He that sitteth on a circle on the earth, that bringeth the princes to nothing. This is why you don't be moved over who becomes president, who becomes prime minister. God brings them all to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. People that make these major decisions that think they have the sway over everything, they're not going to be planted. They don't have any permanent roots. They don't have any eternity to look forward to like God's children do. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither as the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. And then He says, To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, God's not going to lose any of His children He's given eternal life to. The moment you have eternity, you're settled. Now, God, from the beginning, the one that is God, He's the one that sits on the circle of the earth. God just sits there, He just rests there. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, you know, all vain, egotistical men and women that think that they sway moving. God looks at them. Grasshopper. You know, when I was a kid, we shot grasshoppers with BB guns, stepped on them, all kinds of stuff, you know. And God looks at him just like, there's no grasshopper down there. People boasting of power and might. Heard some professional athletes came out now saying the earth is flat. I'm not going to mention his name. I don't want to give him any glory, but I just thought, what a poor lost soul. And he's getting a lot of attention to himself because of that. And he's taking great pride in his intellectual thinking, you know. I'm just telling people they need to think for themselves and come to their own conclusion, blah, 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 blah. But nobody's lost. Everybody else is looking at him and laughing, but he's lost. He's going to die. And one day, going to point with a place where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And he needs help. He needs to be born again. He needs rescuing. He needs it. You know what he needs? He needs a great beginning that starts with the Word, and the Word, and a Word that is with God, and a Word that is God. Last of all, we have too much time here. In John 1, just to emphasize in this new the making in the beginning. The Father's in the beginning, but the making, you know, in verse 3, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, in the greatest beginning of all, absolutely everything was made by God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, For I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now God, you know, when God makes something, it lasts the way God wants it to last. When God works, when God makes a child, He makes an eternal child. Aren't you glad that your salvation isn't just for this earth here right now? Aren't you glad that you get eternal life, not just a good temporal life? Some would rather just have a good temporal life, but man, I'd rather have eternal, man, because I tell you, it's just like the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard with entering into the heart of man those things which God hath prepared for them that love them. But we can see them by the Spirit, you know. I mean, these blessings, you see, this is why you have to be with God, because you can't see the life unfold that God has you that needs you to have. It comes by being with God and walking in the Spirit and being with Him. I don't always see it either, because sometimes I revert back to just walking with me, you know, and Carl was talking about having self-pity. I put a note in my journal this week. It's time to stop whining and start working. And John 6:29, this is the work of God, to believe on Him when we have sin. It's just to believe. That's our work, to believe on God, you know. And when we embrace and envelop that, everything just becomes so secure and we become so settled. But you can never see it if you don't walk with God. There's one of these new creation science places that have developed, that I'm not against, by the way, but they make all these nice things, you get proofs, and, you know, and I heard, I think they built an ark. I think my son was somewhere. I said, I already saw it. I saw it before it's ever built. And if you've been saved, you look at the script, you saw it too. You saw it by the Spirit. And guess what? When you read about it in the Bible, the Holy Spirit said it was there. and it was proven to you. And even though somebody else is making it, you already knew it was there because the Spirit of God confirmed it in your heart because of those moments in your prayer and your Bible reading that you just didn't read this as abstract facts. You entered into the presence of with God. And then it changes everything that you do when you look at it that way. And you see your Father. You know what? And really it just kind of comes together because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God. You know what happens when you go into the Word with God? You see the hand of the Father. The same was in the beginning. The Word was God. And the reason there's many dry religious people, because we've got the Word and we've got books to explain the Word. And we've got internet to explain the Word. We've got sword searcher, every other Bible searcher under the sun, which I'm not against those things, by the way. But at some point, that searcher's got to take you to be with God. If not, it'll never have the power that it needs to have. Put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand. You know, the weapons of warfare are not carnal. So we don't wrestle against, our battle is not against flesh and blood. The scriptures say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. But you know, it's amazing how we live our life as though we're fighting against flesh and blood. We live our life just as we would, most of the Christian life by many people is lived just the same way as people go to university or take any class or course for their job. I'm going to go accumulate knowledge and information so I can do well on my tests. I can do well for promotion. I'm going to do well in my craft, do well in my skill, whatever it may be. Instead of, you know what, this is not like anything else. You know, yeah, but this is the Word. But man, it's got to be with God. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. It doesn't just say with the Word, nothing shall be impossible. With God. There's a presence of the Spirit. And we know that's why God is all three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why He commands us for our good to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And you know, turn to Lamentations chapter 3, and then I think we'll close this. But Lamentations right after the book of Jeremiah. If you don't know Isaiah, Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. You know, all of us need to a good beginning. Because only every day you need the right beginning, don't you? And so God, in the greatest beginning of all, set the example of how the beginning can be what it ought to be. And Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 18, it says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." That's the way a lot of people start Monday morning, right? Remember mine affliction and my misery. The wormwood and the gall. Somebody said, yeah, this is Monday. It says that in the Greek, it says Monday. Actually, this would be Hebrew here. But my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. Well, what do you think about it? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You know, there's a beginning that we need every single morning. And we need, it's based on the mercy of God. And if you and I want to have a beginning that would be honorable in the sight of the Lord, I want to encourage you just to follow God's example. Anybody like creation? If nobody, we like spring and summer. A lot of us, we like to see the things God created, you know. And snow, when it's covered up in snow, you can't see it. Or when it's so freezing, you don't leave your house, you can't see it. But you see those trees and those things, the cherry blossoms in Hyde Park and all types of things. You can see a fish jump out of the water and even type of things. All these creations, it was because of the Word. And because the Word was with God. Even in your existence today, that fantastic thing that we just think is a hand, that they've spent probably trillions of dollars trying to reproduce in robotic form, the Word just said, there it is. God made man, and all the atoms and things hold it together, and they can make it powered by food and plants. And I mean, that'll be the thing, if they can make the robot I can powered by powered by Milky Way, amen. But all these things, just in the beginning was Word, and Word with God. I'm just telling you, the supernatural took place in the beginning because of God's Word, His presence, and His Word and His presence being God the Father Himself. Everything that a child of God has when they're born again. So His mercies are new every morning. You know, there's no reason you and I should not be able to live a fantastic life for His name's sake. Now, does that mean that fantastic means lots of money, lots of goods, lots of health, lots of wealth? Okay, no, it doesn't mean that. But it means a life that shows forth the reality of who God is, that we bear witness to the truth. But I'm telling you, and there is the mercies that are available. They're available every single day. They're new every morning. So this fantastic creation, there's a fantastic beginning that God wants you and I to live every single day, because of the power of His mercy, and because of His Word, His presence, and Him being the Father that He is. You know, one of the difficult things about being an earthly father, eventually my children grow and they're going to leave home. And they're not going to be in my presence the same way they have in years past. But you know, it's not meant to be that way with God. It's meant for you to immerse yourself more and more in the presence of God. In fact, at some point, the reason God finally says, that's enough, you're going to die, and so you can just be totally connected to Him and no longer disconnected from Him in any way whatsoever. That's a great thing. Amen. I mean, if I was a trillionaire, I mean, my children get tired of me, but I wouldn't make them go work and get a job or something like that. If I had, I mean, I'd just say, hey, if I was a trillionaire, let's just enjoy life. I mean, to me, that doesn't make any sense. Especially without some godly purpose, I mean, what's there to live for? You know, and you see, well, I'm going to make. They're going to earn their living. The guy's got a billionaire. So why? Why? Because God takes all his wealth one day. He said, "You know what? You're all mine. Never again. You're going to lift a finger. You're just going to be with me, worship me, and be in my presence." And that life, that beginning, that daily presence with Him, that it is meant to be so powerful that it's nothing the world can really take away from you. Galatians 5, I'll read this and we'll go to the house or wherever you're going after this. Because this is a life that is supernaturally powerful. Because if you have the Word with God, and then you'll see God the way He is, because He's there. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, it's great to have love in any and all situations. That's the most powerful thing you can have. Joy. Even great to have joy in any and all situations. We see people in every situation have joy when they walk with God. Peace. Now, the first three is everything that people use things of this world to have. They may use income to have people around you, to have joy because you feel joy. Hey, I got money, I can buy, I can do stuff, you know. Peace, I'm not worried about bills, I got money and I got things. People use use money for this, they'll use drugs for this, they'll use entertainment for this. You just put whatever in there else, you know, we don't have to go through the whole list. All these things people try to do to have these first three here, and then long-suffering, but you try drugs for that, because be patient, you know, people going for work, they have that glass of wine every evening. Why? Because to make them relax, you know. Because they're just, man, I don't know how I can make it. But the Spirit of God, make you long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now, and again, I've said this before, you know it. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the fruit of situations. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Daniel, in the lion's den, had all that. The Hebrew children in the fiery furnace had all that. Jesus, being humiliated, being tortured, totally disrespected, had all that. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. At peace. They said, well, come down. Come down from the cross if thou be the Son of God. He had peace. He was in the will of God. Why would he come down? I mean, do you understand the power of that peace? And do you understand when you think about that situation, it was the power of the Spirit of God that kept him on the cross without looking for his own deliverance and to look for the forgiveness of other people. So it's not it's not the circumstances that dictate this great life we have with God. It's what was found in the beginning. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for this precious opportunity to preach about you. I pray that you touch somebody's heart today for salvation. Maybe somebody needs to recognize that's not the God they know. And they've never known you. Help them to know today that through Jesus Christ they can turn from their sin and believe on Christ and be saved today. And maybe there's children there in your children in this room today that know they really just haven't. They've been in the Word, but they really haven't been in the Word with you. Would you help them to just endeavor to be in the Word with you in a special way, and knowing that when that happens, you will reveal the Father to them in a way. Oh, so, so precious.